This is the Randy Rhoads Show. To speak with Randy, dial 561-270-3844. That's 561-270-3844.
All righty. John in Ohio.
Yes, so you're giving advice of these people shouldn't say anything when they come across our border.
No. And this is about deportations in the interior this weekend.
Right, and you know what? What I'm going to say to you is that actually they don't have any rights under our laws.
Because they're not
U.S. citizens.
Oh, no.
Okay,
wait.
All of us should pay for lawyers, right?
Hey. That's not true. If you're here on U.S. soil, the Constitution applies to you.
Yes, but they came across illegally, so we should not have to pay for their lawyers.
Just wait. Let's have a conversation based on some truth here, okay? The Constitution applies to anybody who's present on U.S. soil. Anybody. I mean, if you're here from Saudi Arabia and somebody murders you,
I'm not going to pay for their lawyers.
No, you don't pay for their lawyers.
Yes, we do.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
No, we don't.
When those lawyers are up on those illegals, we have to pay out of our pockets
to pay for that. Tax dollars do not pay attorneys.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
What, they're doing it for free?
No, the immigrant is paying for it.
Right. The immigrants don't pay for lawyers.
Yes, they do.
Okay. First of all, they're not immigrants. They're illegal aliens that come across illegally.
The people can't be illegal, okay? Listen to me.
Somebody that immigrated to this country is illegal.
We can have a conversation about what should happen, but you have to know the law. The law says...
I do know the law.
You
law,
don't.
And I do know that you're not a lawyer.
I am a lawyer. I have a law degree. Wait. I have a law degree, John.
These people do not have the right to come across our border, first and foremost, they do not have a right to just come across the border.
Yes, they do. And if they make a claim...
No, they do not,
yes,
lady.
Yes, they do, sir.
It's just like you guys wanting to take our guns from us. You'll never be able to do it.
Okay, now we're into the Second Amendment.
Lady, you're a fucking moron. You know what?
Oh, well, dump him. He just called me an effing moron. So we had to dump him. I'm not a moron. The Constitution applies to everybody that is in the United States while they're in the United States. Therefore, each and every person who violates our law is due process. And that includes the Fifth Amendment, the right not to incriminate yourself. Lawyers are not paid for by tax dollars. You do have volunteer attorneys who do it pro bono. They come from groups like RAICES, the ACLU, and those are organizations that are supported by donations. Okay, tax dollars do not pay for migrants. Second, if you cross our border, that is not a crime, a federal crime. It's a civil crime, meaning a fine is attached. And after due process, if you are adjudicated as being somebody who broke the civil law of our country, you can then be deported. But you have to go through the due process. Third, John, if you cross the border and make a claim for asylum, whether you cross at a legal port of entry or you cross anywhere, and you are present on U.S. soil, you have broken no law. And you haven't violated any civil authority. Anybody who comes to the United States can and is entitled under our law to make a claim for asylum. And they have broken no law. They have not even jaywalking. Nothing. So you better know your laws before you call me an effing moron. And then we could have a conversation. But if you want to live in this little fantastical world where you think that the Constitution doesn't apply to anybody here, and that if a foreigner is murdered on our soil, that they're not entitled to have their murder investigated and their murderer prosecuted, you're crazy. We're better than that, in spite of you. Dan in Massachusetts.
Yeah. Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
All right. Well, first of all, I don't believe it when they say that they've got all the hotel rooms lined up. I don't think so. I think that there's going to be too many people for that. As far as I'm concerned, a lot of these people are just going to go into camps. We're talking about, this is just an analogous to the roundup of the Jews and the communists and the Poles and all that, following the pattern of an authoritarian government. AOC was right. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think she was right, and I'm a Jew, and I get to say, what she didn't call them death camps, and that's what Dachau was, and that's what Bergen-Belsen was. That's what those camps were. They were death camps, but she did not call them that. George Takei wrote a very brilliant piece. He said the title of his piece is, I never thought I'd have to say this, but he was talking about Japanese internment camps and how American citizens of Japanese descent were interned during World War II, because just looking at them, guys like this one in Ohio here, could tell that they were up to no good. And of course, we had to make reparations to those people. And we will end up making reparations here as well, because if somebody is here making a claim of asylum, they've broken no law. None.
Yeah, but they're just rounding, stigmatizing them and rounding them up. That's all. And again,
well, I just want people to understand what the impact to our economy really is if we tried to deport undocumented people in this country. I just want you to know that a new study shows, it's bipartisan, and it shows that immigrant-owned businesses employ 8 million Americans. Immigrant-owned businesses employ 8 million Americans. They add $1 trillion to our economy. Of those immigrants, almost a million of them, 750,000 of those entrepreneurs are undocumented. And yet they employ Americans. Now, if we decided, if we go all in with this crazy authoritarian doofus, okay, this guy who understands absolutely nothing about our economy, understands, that all he knows is to transfer our wealth to the richest people in this country, okay? We would have, if we deported the people that are here working, that are undocumented, we would have food shortages in days. In days. You're talking farming, meat, dairy, all these places at the labor level, the people who actually perform the work, 80% of them are immigrants. They do really tough jobs, very demanding jobs, in very harsh circumstances. These are people that are so hungry for work that they are willing to do what Mr. John in Ohio, the Buckeye, who called me a bucking moron, won't do. Historically, immigrants work in meatpacking plants. That has been true for over 100 years. And you know it if you're of Irish descent or Italian descent. Okay? It would be horrendous if they weren't there to do this work. You would have no place to process animals. The plants would have to close. There would be severe animal welfare concerns all over this country. As far as dairy farming goes, Wisconsin, the people in Wisconsin who have the dairy farms, for the most part, they do all of our cheese and they do milk and all that stuff. 80% of the milk in Wisconsin is harvested by immigrants. Half the farms in Wisconsin would go out of business. Immigrant labor has helped Wisconsin's dairy farming thrive by filling the gap. Immigrants have, quote, become an important part of the fabric of the dairy industry, Mr. Mayer, who owns a dairy farm in Wisconsin, told me, and this is talking to Slate. He said, they have the ambition and accountability to be with us at our side. They show up to work every single day. If Trump had his way and immigrant workers vanished from Wisconsin, the industry would encounter exceptional challenges. We would become even more depleted of having the folks that are the sort of hands who are going to show up to milk the cows, feed the calves, mix the feed. Wisconsin farmers have built deep bonds with the immigrant community that works at the local dairy industry. You think of some of these folks who have been here maybe as long as 20 years and are extremely skilled. They have proven that they love what they do. We have put a lot of training into these people. It would be devastating to lose these good quality people. Now, some of the Wisconsin farmers have decided to go back to Mexico, to the towns where and the villages where their workers come from. And one of the men who owns a farm in Wisconsin, a man named Mr. Rosenau, said he went to Veracruz and it touched his heart because there was a little boy who was introduced to him and he was hiding behind his mother's skirt. And he was like, why is he so shy? And mom said, because we named him John after Mr. Rosenau. He said, that was just about more than I could handle.